Well, my name is Steve Garcia, and I want to personally welcome you to the online campus of Sunrise Church. You know, these last couple of weeks, we've been talking about gaining some victories over those unseen battles that rage in our hearts and minds. We've talked about doubt. We've talked about addiction. Next week, we're going to tackle bitterness, but today, we're going to focus on getting beyond our past. How many of you are familiar with the term public enemy? Now, I'm not talking about Chuck D and Flavor Flav. A public enemy is someone who poses a threat to a group or community. For example, for years and years in our country, public enemy number one was this man, Osama bin Laden. He was the face of the September 11th attacks and in international terrorism everywhere. Most recently, many people have believed this man to be public enemy. This is Derek Chauvin, the officer who was convicted of murdering George Floyd last summer in Minneapolis. For others, your public enemy might be one of these two guys, depending on your political preference. And I'm sure you can add a whole lot of others to this list, but here's a question I'd love for you to ponder. When you see the images of people, or when you think of others you might put in that category of public enemy, what would a public enemy need to do to convince you that they are changed? You know, most of us will never have the notoriety of the people I just mentioned. But what we do have is a past. Every single one of us. All of us have things that we've said and done that we're not proud of. All of us have made decisions that we're ashamed of. So how do we move beyond the past? How do we put those things in our rearview mirror? For some of you, you want to get by, you want to move beyond all of this stuff, but people keep bringing your past up to you and you feel tied down to it. For others, you keep replaying every bad decision you ever made in your head over and over again, and you feel chained to your past. It's like your past hovers over your head like your own little personal rain cloud. So the question that we want to wrestle with today is, how do I move past my past? In the days of the early church, followers of Jesus had public enemy number one. His name was Saul. In fact, they hated him so much they referred to him as the murderous Saul. But what God did in his life ought to encourage any one of us desiring to move past our past. His story is found in the New Testament book of Acts. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, find the book of Acts chapter 7. And if you don't have a Bible with you, you could follow along with the verses we post here at the bottom of the screen. Acts 7, beginning in verse 57, and we're going to jump right in after a crowd turns violent on a young follower of Jesus named Stephen. Read along with me. They all rushed at him, dragged Stephen out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is the first mentioning of Saul in the entire Bible. Now, there was a King Saul in the Old Testament, different guy. But this is Saul's first recorded appearance in the New Testament. And it came at the convergence of two young rising stars. For the church, Stephen marked the beginning of a bright future for the followers of Jesus. On the opposition, Saul marked the bright new beginning of an era where anyone who challenged the established religious system would be met with swift consequences. Stephen's life was snuffed out way too early, but for Saul, this was just the beginning. Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Saul was on the move. He was passionate. He was well-educated, well-funded, and he galvanized the enemies of God. He was on the fast track to become the big dog of Judaism. At the mere mentioning of the name of Saul, followers of Jesus shuddered in fear. Saul was a powerful threat. Until one day when Jesus changed everything. Jump over to Acts chapter 9. Let's pick things up in verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. This is a miraculous encounter. The resurrected Jesus literally stood in the way of Saul's plans. He was on his way to persecute more followers of Jesus. And then Jesus got in the way. First, he called out Saul's name, then he called out Saul's ways. And Saul was stricken with blindness, and he had to be led by the hand to Damascus to wait his next marching orders. And a couple of days later, those instructions would come. Verse 17, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized." This was the moment everything changed for Saul. He could now see physically and spiritually. Now, the author of the book of Acts doesn't have any recording of Saul making a verbal confession of placing his faith in Jesus. He probably didn't need to because the evidence of Saul's turnaround was so overwhelming. Here is just one example, verse 20. "At once Saul began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah." Saul didn't waste any time. He started telling others about Jesus right away. And then after that, he disappeared into the Arabian desert for a couple of years. And when he returned to Damascus, he would learn right away the cost of following Jesus. Verse 23, "After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him, but his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall." My, how the tables have turned. Saul went from being the hunter to being the hunted. In just a short amount of time, Saul was now on the receiving end of persecution. And the guys coming after him were likely guys he trained. But if anyone could think like a persecutor, it was Saul, and he was able to outsmart his pursuers, and he had his men lower him out of a back alley window in a basket. And having cheated death in Damascus, he linked up with a couple of other followers of Jesus and tried to return to the city he spent so many years in. Verse 26, "When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple." This is a perfectly understandable response from the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem. I mean, Saul did a lot of bad things, and people thought, he's a spy. We wouldn't put it past someone like Saul that he would sink so low as to pretend to be a convert so that he could infiltrate the church and destroy it from the inside out. Saul was in a no-win situation. His old crew from the past wouldn't accept him. In fact, they wanted him dead. And now his new crew wouldn't accept him because of what he did in the past. He was in no man's land. He was chained to his past. And perhaps you can relate. See, Saul struggled with the same thing many of you are struggling with. How do I move past my past? Now again, all of us have experiences from our past that have shaped us from childhood to adulthood. Our past is layered and complex and nuanced, and we don't have the time in one message to hit it from every single angle. But what we can do is categorize our past into two generic perspectives. Number one, something I did, and number two, something someone did to me. Something I did. These are the actions of our own choosing. For example, maybe you used to get together with friends to gossip and tear others down, and now you feel bad about those conversations. Or maybe you climbed into bed with someone, or multiple someones. You drank too much, you made immature decisions, you developed a bad reputation. Something I did. The second category is something someone did to me. Maybe you have abuse in your background, or abandonment. Or you grew up in an environment where you had nothing but bad examples all around you. Something was done to you. Now, next week, we're going to tackle the topic of bitterness, which lends itself much more to the second category, something that was done to me. But for the purpose of today's message, I want us to focus on the first category, something I did, specifically answering the question, how do I move out of the pit I dug? How can the person I once was be left behind? How do I move past my past? Well, based on this account of Saul, I see some practical steps we can take to put these things behind us. How do I move past my past? Number one, live differently. Easy to say, very hard to do. But listen, if you want to change the narrative of your life, you can't keep acting out the old script. You've got to make some hard changes. How in the world can I live differently? It begins with the transforming work of Jesus Christ in your life. Let's look at these words that Saul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." When you place your faith in Jesus, when you surrender to Him and invite Him into your life, you become a new creation and things change immediately. Your position changes. You're no longer separate from God because of your sin. You're now forgiven. Your purpose changes. You're no longer limited to just climbing the world's ladder of success. You can now live for God's greater purposes. Your power changes. You're no longer bound to your own natural power to make changes in your life. You now have supernatural power to make changes in your life through the Holy Spirit. You are a new creation. Your position changes. Your purpose changes. Your power changes. But you know what doesn't change? How other people view you. You see, when you become a new creation, so many things are changing, but very often the people all around you still view you the same way. How do you change their perspective? By living differently. Let's see what Saul did. Let's go back to verse 20 of Acts chapter 9. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. At once. Saul didn't say, you know what I need to do? I need to go back to school and get my education. I need to wait for this pandemic to be over. I need to pay off some debts and write a few apology notes. No, at once he started living for the Lord. How did Saul convince people that he wasn't there to kill them? By telling them, I love Jesus and Jesus loves you too. By telling them that Jesus changed me and Jesus can change you too. He started immediately telling others about Jesus. And what was their response? Verse 21, all those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? The narrative started changing. People started realizing, hey, what we heard about Saul from others is different from what we're seeing for ourselves. He had to live differently. You see, when you become a new creation through Jesus, you have the power to start living differently. And the new you could do things the old you never could. The new you can tell that group of friends no, the same group you never used to be able to tell no to. And you could let them know, that's not who I am anymore. The new you can unwind at the end of a long day by drinking a cup of tea instead of a cup of vodka. People will look at you and say, brother's drinking Earl Grey instead of Grey Goose, something's changing around here. The new you can swallow your pride and apologize when you did something wrong. Your family will be like, wait, Dad apologized? We're still talking about our family, right? Our dad, you know, Mom actually had a calm conversation without storming out of the room or rage cleaning. Maybe Jesus is real. You see, when you are a new creation, the old is gone and the new is here. And the new you could do things the old you never could. When you become a new creation, you could live differently. This is the way you start to change the narrative. How do I move past my past? 1, live differently. 2, walk consistently. Now, I know you don't want to hear this, but moving past your past simply takes time. It's walking as a new creation day after day after day. Again, with Saul, he started immediately telling others about Jesus, but his reputation didn't change overnight. Remember what happened when he tried to return to the big city, verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. You see, many of us are eager to move past our past, but other people may not be. Now, recently, I got into a conflict with one of my sons. He had said something hurtful to his brother, and now they were fighting, and so I had to step in and try to bring some peace to the situation. So I'm talking with my son and helping him to understand the words that he used to ignite this conflict. And as I was talking, he got frustrated with me and blurted out, "Dad, stop bringing up the past." I'm like, the past? Son, that was 5 minutes ago. Now, technically, if we want to get real literal, 1 second earlier was the past. I could punch you in the face and then immediately get mad at you for bringing up the past. Some of us are living hurtful, reckless, self-centered lives that is causing pain to others around us. And when someone confronts you on it, you quickly play the past card. Say, hey, that's in the past. You got to move on. Listen, it's not the past if your past behavior still hurts me in the present. You see, a lot of us, we want to just move on, but listen, it takes time. It takes repetition. It takes walking consistently. And when Saul showed up in Jerusalem, people were like, nope, he's a spy. What he did was unforgivable. No way, no how. He's never going to change. And that's when a very influential brother came to his defense, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. You see, when you are walking consistently, other people start to vouch for you. And Barnabas was an influential guy. When he spoke, people less listened. And he testified, listen, I've seen Saul. I'm telling you, he's a changed man. He encountered Jesus. He surrendered to Jesus. He started preaching Jesus. And even after he left for a couple of years, when he came back, he was still preaching Jesus. And the same people trying to kill us are now trying to kill him. And so people listened to Barnabas and they said, okay, we're going to welcome him back into the mix. And when they did, look how Saul acted. Verse 28. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Saul continued to walk consistently. It just takes time. But understand, Saul's acceptance into this group was 3 years in the making. You got to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and stay consistent. Now, this doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake. That's called perfection. But being consistent means that when you do mess up, you say, look, I'm sorry. This is the new me. There's still a whole lot of the old me in here. But I want you to know the old me is going to win a few battles, but because of my commitment to Jesus Christ, the new me is going to win the war. How do I move past my past? 1, live differently. 2, walk consistently. Here's the third, tell your story. One of the best ways to move past your past is to strip it of its power by sharing it as your testimony. Saul did this frequently. He shared his story all over the pages of the New Testament. Here's just one of many examples. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Saul said, "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless." Saul admitted here, as he told his story, that he used to believe that the way to get God to like you is through good deeds and accomplishments. And he listed some of them right here. His zealous commitment to the traditions of his forefathers. He was smarter than everybody, more passionate than everybody. He was willing to do what it took to stick to the law. He had a pristine outward religious appearance, but then his whole tone changed in the very next verse. Verse 7, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." Saul said, all of those accomplishments that I accumulated before Jesus are nothing but a giant pile of dog poop. Literally, that's the translation of this word garbage. It translates as excrement. Saul was saying, my life before Jesus was smelly and worthless. And then he shed some very interesting insight on moving past your past. Verse 13, he said, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, this is an interesting thing for Saul to say. It's like he's saying, hey, forget your past. But just a few verses earlier, he was telling the story of his past. So what did he mean when he says that we are to forget what is behind? Saul used the illustration of running a race. Now, I'm not a runner, but I've run long enough to know that when I feel gassed out and tired and ready to quit, I have to focus on where I still need to run, not on where I've already ran. And what Saul was saying is that when you forget what is behind you, what you are actually doing is focusing on what is in front of you. What he was saying is the way that you forget what is behind is by saying, my past is a chapter of the story, but not the whole of the story. Forgetting is saying, my past helped design me, but it does not define me. You see, forgetting is different than regretting, which is where many of us are. We get stuck in these cycles of regret. I never should have gotten to that relationship. I never should have took that job. I never should have stayed in that situation for as long as I did. See, regret heaps on guilt. There's no forward momentum with regret. Paul didn't say regret what lies behind, but forget what lies behind. He's saying we have to make an intentional decision to realize that all of my mistakes and missteps of the past have led me to the place where I could serve Jesus in the present. And the way that you do this is you tell your story. You don't emphasize and glorify the past, but you recognize this is a part of who I am. But Jesus is the story now. I want to share a story with you from a man who has been at Sunrise for many years. And I want you to hear from him how God changed his life, especially redeeming his past. Take a look.
Hi, my name is Chris Lewis. I have a past, and here's my story of how God changed my life. Started out about 44 years ago. My parents brought us to Sunrise as a family, actually Rialto Community Baptist back then. I accepted Christ at the age of 13 years old, and it was all good. But the problem was, is once I got out of high school, there was no growth, and I became an iron worker. In the construction industry, it's a lot of partying, a lot of fun, and me loving to be around people, the partying life, got out of hand. And so what happened was, is I got married, I had children, and basically just neglected my family. And the partying continued, and things just went haywire. I had a drug that I got addicted to, which was methamphetamine. And, you know, at first it's a thing that you just do, and, you know, it's okay to not do and do, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you can't function without it because you're tired, you're burned out, and you're just tired all the time. And I used to tell my friends that I was not gonna stop partying until I went to prison. So I ended up in prison from the partying lifestyle. And it wasn't just from partying, it was because I took everything too far. So I'm laying there, you know, on my cot, saying, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to surrender my life to you. When I get out, I'm gonna do the right thing, and I'm gonna say yes to whatever it is that you have in store for me. So that was way back in over 20 years ago. And so I got out, and then I just connected back with Sunrise Church and worked on my relationships. I'm sure there was trust issues with, you know, my job, my parents, my family, anybody who knew me, because it was years of just out of control working and partying and destroying relationships. My children, all they knew, because they were old enough to understand what, you know, what's going on, why is dad gone, and that took some time to build back up, because, you know, with any child, if your parents destroyed your relationship, they're thinking, well, what have I done that's made you where that's more important than me? So I just sat down with them and said, hey, ask for your forgiveness. Here's what I've done. Here's what I'm gonna do, but I don't expect you to believe me. I'm just gonna show you. And if you can ever forgive me and just see what I'm gonna try and do, I won't talk about it, I'll just do it. And I'm available, you know, anytime we can make this work. And the same thing with my parents. It hurt them worse because there were so many years that I was just not there, you know, show up to family functions and just, you know, falling asleep during anything that we did. 20 years up to now, I attended all the spiritual growth classes. I served every opportunity I could, came on the Deacon Council, and just said yes to anything and everything that I knew I needed to do to serve God and to do what it took to be right in His eyes. So I surround myself with men, you know, here at Sunrise that have the same type of past I do. Nobody's clean. I've had many people in my life that I look up to at this church, and especially my dad. My family's together. I have a beautiful wife. My children are grown now. Just recently I was able to see my daughter be baptized here, my daughter Crystal, my youngest one, and I was able to baptize her, actually. So I'm a member of the elder board now, and my best advice to anybody who wants to, who feels like they have a checkered past that has, feels like they can't get it together, and anything they've done that's unacceptable, it's not to the Lord, and He is ready and willing and able for you to just come to Him and to say yes. As long as you say yes to the Lord and you surrender, He'll use you.
Say yes to Jesus. I'm so thankful for Chris Lewis for sharing his testimony. He's the chairman of our elder board. And he was nervous to tell his story because, look, there's some heavy things in his past. But I just tried to encourage him by saying, Chris, listen, all of us have a past. The difference with you is you're bold enough to actually talk about it. We've got to tell our stories. Strip the past of its power by sharing it as your testimony. This is what Saul did all throughout the New Testament. And he had a lot of stories to share because God used him in powerful ways. And I want to share with you one more of those powerful stories, this beautiful full circle moment that happened in Saul's life. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Listen to this. This is amazing. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So because of Saul's persecution, followers of Jesus had to flee for their lives, and they went into non-Jewish regions, but they were only telling other Jews about Jesus. But a couple of them broke the mold and started telling the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the Greeks, they started telling them about Jesus too. And the result was things started popping. The church in Antioch started growing, and there were so many people, they said, we need someone to lead. So who did they call on? Verse 25, then Barnabas sent to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Isn't this unbelievable? The whole reason the gospel even got to Antioch was because Saul persecuted the church. Now, all these years later, he travels to Antioch and comes not as persecutor Saul, but as Pastor Saul, leading the very people he chased out. This is an incredible example of how God can redeem our past. He pulled Saul out of his Jewish roots and set him loose on the Gentile world to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And it became so much a part of Saul's story that he started referring to his own name in the Greek derivative as Paul. And Paul had his entire past redeemed because of the transforming work of Jesus Christ. And if God could do it for Paul, he could do it for you. But it begins with saying yes to Jesus, to surrendering to Jesus, to becoming a new creation. Have you ever deliberately prayed to Jesus to invite him into your life? If you've never done that, then let's let today be that day. The way that you invite Jesus into your life is you simply pray out to him. You believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is God sent to die in our place. You ask him to forgive you of your sins, and then you walk with him for the rest of your lives. So if today's the day that you want to begin a personal relationship with Jesus, you want to receive him into your life to become a new creation, then I want to invite you that whatever you're doing, press pause right now. And I want you to repeat these words after me, believing them in faith as we pray. Repeat after me. Jesus, I am a sinner. I have a past. But today, I want to start again. Today, I place my faith in you. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And today I ask that you forgive me. Change me, God. Help me to walk in your power all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to celebrate with you. Let us know in the comments. Get your hands up. Today, I committed my life to Christ. Today, I became a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. How exciting. And now it's time to walk in that new creation reality. It's time to take your next step. Wherever you are, take out your phone right now and text the word next to the number on the screen. This is for everybody. This is how you take your next step. That might mean joining a small group. That might mean getting baptized or volunteering or just linking up with someone one-to-one to better understand God or your faith. Text the word next to the number at the bottom of the screen. There are many of you today who need prayer for yourself or for somebody else. We have live right now prayer partners ready to receive your request and pray for you by name. We believe in the power of prayer. So just let us know in the comments and our prayer partners will go before the Lord on your behalf right here, right now. Friends, listen. All of us have a past. We can acknowledge that past without living in it. And this comes when we become new creations in Christ. So if you want to move past your past, you got to live differently. If the old is gone and the new is here, let's live in the new. You got to walk consistently. It's going to take time of day after day staying on the right path, and you will see that people will eventually realize that you are changed. And you got to tell your story. Rob the past of its power. Share your testimony. Let your guilt be someone else's guide. Friends, listen. We've all done things. We've all said things. We've all experienced things that we're ashamed of. But I've got some good news for you today. If God wanted us to walk in shame, he would have sent a shamer. But he wants us to walk in victory, which is why he sent a savior. Jesus Christ, do you know him today? Put your trust in him. Become a new creation in Christ, because the new you could do things the old you never could. So let's get that past in our rearview mirror and let's start walking forward in victory. Amen.